Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, happy Pi Day, 3.14. It's always a little bit fun when it's Pi Day for math teachers and other numbers geeks. But 4 years ago came the best Pi Day of them all, which occurs only once a century, because Pi, taken out a few more digits, is 3.1415926. So 4 years ago, 2015, at 9:26 in the morning and 9:26 at night, it was not just Pi Day, it was Pi Minute, 3.1415926. That was the once-in-a-century Pi Minute, and I'll bet you missed it. So tell your kids and your grandkids to savor the moment when it comes around again on March 14th, 2115. Now that that's settled, here's another reason Pi Day always matters in New York State. March 14th means we're closing in on the start of the new fiscal year that begins April 1st and is the deadline for many of the important things that the legislature will enact for the year. And this year, after last November's historic election that gave Democrats control of both houses, there is a lot that might get passed in these next 18 days. But as it turns out, full Democratic Party control doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Some of the things still hanging in the balance include rent reform, bail and evidence reform, cannabis legalization, congestion pricing to fund the MTA, a pied-à-terre tax also to fund the MTA, that's a tax on high-end second homes in the city, a permanent 2% cap on property tax increases. For those of you in the city, that's a big deal in the suburbs. Education funding, the amounts are contentious. Public financing of political campaigns to diminish the influence of big donors, a ban on plastic bags, and more. So we are very happy to have with us one of the big three people negotiating all this out, Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins, whose own district is in Westchester along the Hudson from Yonkers to the Tappan Zee Bridge and further east from around New Rochelle to around White Plains. Now, the Senate did release its version of the budget yesterday. Now the Majority Leader negotiates with Governor Cuomo and with Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie. Until this year, you know, they always called it the three men in a room. Now it's two men and Andrea Stewart-Cousins. So, Majority Leader, always good to have you. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. It's always good to be here. I was laughing at your pie intro and even laughing more at the two men and Andrea Stewart-Cousins.
There you go. We'll have a slice of your favorite something today,
yes,
as
yes.
We will here at the radio station. Let me start with a checklist of some items so you can clarify for our listeners what's in your budget, and then you can explain further, okay?
Sure.
So, rent reform, like ending vacancy decontrol of rent-stabilized apartments or any other rent reform, is it in your document?
It is in very general terms, but we are committed, as you know, to obviously it's going to expire this year, so it's clearly a priority for us, and it has always been a priority for us, and those items are also on our agenda.
So you've got a June deadline under the law,
even if
nothing happens by April 1st.
That's exactly right, and we want to get this right. We know how important it is to everyone, and certainly tenants, that we do the right thing. We did also include additional funding for the Tenant Protection Unit, which was something that was out there, but our Republican colleagues never wanted to fund it. So we have been able to increase the funding for that. There'll be 94 new positions, and we're even letting them look at tenants' protections outside of New York City as well. So I think that is going to be a great boost right now for tenants in New York.
How about ending cash bail and requiring DAs to share evidence of innocence with defense attorneys? Is that for now or for later?
Well, that's not in the budget, but it is something that we in the Senate, along with our colleagues in the Assembly and the governor, have been really working on. We are extremely close in the discovery, in speedy trial, a lot closer on bail. We understand that what we do is going to impact the lives of so many people incarcerated and so on. We want to get it right, and we want to make sure that it really reforms the criminal justice system in ways that will again protect the innocent, mm-hmm. and make sure that people who should be in jail are in jail. So we will get there, that I can promise you.
And related, cannabis legalization?
Again, that is in our budget. It is not the same proposal that the governor put forward. We are, the Assembly and the Senate are on the same page, and again, constant negotiations with the governor. But just like everything else, we want to make sure that we get it right, that if we are going down this path, that we learn from what has happened in other states, and also that we make sure that the criminal justice is also applicable there. As you know, the incarceration rate of black and brown people as it relates to cannabis has been astronomical as compared with the white population, although the usage is the same. So there are people who have records and are in jail and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of criminal justice aspects around that, as well as making sure that the resources are directed in the right way, in terms of drug, anti-drug usage sorts of things, and supporting education around issues, and making sure that people who that there is access to the industry for people on all stratas. So there are a lot of things to be hammered out, and we want to do it right. We want to make sure that people have opportunities if we do it right. And, it'll... Mm-hmm. I said it's a constant discussion, but I said the Assembly and the Senate are pretty much going down the same path.
Two of the developments on cannabis legalization just in the last couple of days. One is that the Nassau County Executive and the Suffolk County Executive, both Democrats, both said they will opt their counties out, so no pot stores in Mineola or Ronkonkoma, if this passes, if it has an opt-out provision. And the governor said Tuesday that he is not confident of a bill this year because of concerns being raised by sheriffs and DAs on the one hand, and advocates on the other who want guarantees of franchises for people in communities who've been disproportionately affected by past criminalization. So how confident are you that it can be passed this year?
Well, I'm interested in making sure that whatever we do it in a way that makes sense, that is obviously this is a new industry for us. It would be a new market for us, but there are so many aspects. You've touched on them, I've touched on them, and so this is not a rush to make sure that it just gets done. We understand that the mood of the nation has changed as it relates to cannabis. When John Boehner steps down and becomes the chief cannabis lobbyist or whatever, obviously there is a different sort of focus. And we already know that people are using cannabis, but it doesn't mean that we have to meet a deadline during this budget, and that we don't have to listen to the considerations of a myriad of people who want to know how this would impact them. So, you know, I'm about getting it right. I'm about making sure, in terms of our budget, those things, because, again, even the legalization piece would not have any fiscal impact on this current year's budget. So I am about making sure, first and foremost, that we have a fiscally responsible budget that, you know, serves New Yorkers, you know, stays within our spending cap and really moves our progressive agenda forward as it relates to, you know, the things that we know we need to do.
My guest, if you're just joining us, is New York State Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins of Westchester, as we talk about the many significant bills that are in the hopper right now, and many of them for an April 1st deadline for the next fiscal year in New York State, budgetary and non-budgetary items per se being discussed in this big potential package. And we can take a few phone calls for the Majority Leader at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. On congestion pricing, I see there's conflict within the Senate. The governor wants the toll to help fund the New York City buses and subways, but the Daily News describes the roadblock as senators from Long Island want some of the money to go to the LIRR, and Hudson Valley senators want the tolls on the Tappan Zee and George Washington bridges to count toward what you pay to get into Midtown. Is that the right way to look at the issue?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, we all know that we need a dedicated stream of revenue for the MTA, and we all know how important it is that we get that moving in a way that it's reliable, because that's what makes our economy strong, and that's what makes New York, New York. What we are saying is that there is a big region, and we want to make sure that we don't forget the LIRR out on the island and Metro North in the Hudson Valley, because really the focus, and you know, it's important, obviously, is on New York City, the subways, and so on and so forth. So what we did was say that we understand why it's important that we have this dedicated revenue stream. We understand why it's important that the emphasis is on New York City. But we also say that if we're going to have this conversation, there is a parameter that we would like broadened to include the issues that you mentioned. So I won't call it a roadblock, but I do say that there is it's for my conference, there is, we have put forward, and Senator Comrie and Senator Kennedy, who heads up Transportation and Corporations, had a working group that kind of flushed out a lot of the various issues and presented our framework, saying that these are the things that we are concerned about. So, again, I think we're absolutely moving in the right direction. And I think it's important, too, that all of the areas, you know, that people don't get double told and triple told for being in the district, that we have certainly concerns in terms of tolling in our bridges. And we don't know even now what the new Mario Cuomo bridge toll is going to be. So these are all conversations that we feel are important. And I hopefully we'll you know, we'll be able to get it moved.
John in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins. Hi, John.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, but I think we got you.
Okay, I'm a landlord, and I'm also a Democrat. And I know rent reform is on the table, like you've mentioned. And I want to make sure that some input is going to be taken from landlords and the landlord lobby, RSA, because there's a lot of little guys out there. It seems that when people talk about landlords, you know, you hear all these stories conjured up about all the terrible things that happens to tenants, which I would never condone. But then, like, there's good everyday mom and pop, quote unquote, people like me, you know, that get hurt when the laws are made too stringent. And, you know, an overcorrection of pro-tenants. So I want to make sure that our voice is going to be heard also.
John, what's the biggest thing you're concerned about in the current push for rent reform?
Well, you mentioned it before, vacancy decontrol, because with de Blasio as mayor, the first year he was mayor, we got 0.05% of an increase. Then 2 years in a row, a rent freeze. And vacancy decontrol is like one of the dwindling few ways that we have to bring the apartment, you know, get a bit of a raise so that we could invest the money back in the building and make it nice for people.
But then people will argue, John, vacancy decontrol means you can renovate the apartment to a certain level and then it's lost forever to rent stabilization. That's not in the public interest.
You can only raise it a certain percentage. It may be lost depending on what the prior rent was, but not necessarily.
John, thank you very much. Senate Majority Leader Cousins, Stuart Cousins, what do you want to say to John about landlords' voices being heard?
Well, I want to say that certainly we do intend to make sure that all the voices are heard. One of the things that I'm really proud of, again, I'm proud of a lot of things. I think we had an unprecedented start to our majority leadership, just so that your listeners can be reminded. I mean, we came right out the box. We did voting reforms, which included early voting. And by the way, funding for this early voting is in our budget. We, passed the DREAM Act. We passed women's reproductive health rights. We did sensible gun laws. We did the gender addressing concerns with the LGBTQ community and on and on. Also, we've had sexual harassment hearings. We've had MTA hearings. We've had climate change hearings. So there is no question that there will be an open and important opportunity for landlords like John and so on and so forth to have their voices heard, because that's part of what we're bringing to the table as well. We are insightful, but we're insightful because we listen, and we're not afraid to open up a conversation. But the reality is that there has been a very, very, very difficult time that we have had making sure that tenants in New York are able to, you know, feel some security that we are paying attention to affordable housing and you know, being able to keep people in their homes. That's what we're trying to do. And we also know that people, you know, invest in there are good landlords, and we're not trying to hurt good landlords. We're just trying to make everybody a good landlord and making sure that no matter what your income strata is, you can actually live and work in New York.
Jeremy in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with
the
Senate Majority Leader.
Huh?
Yeah, that's two in a row from Brooklyn. Hey, Jeremy.
Hi. So you guys spoke to this a little bit, but I'll slightly modify the question. But Senate Majority Leader, you know, I'm so happy to see you demand marijuana legalization happens, but happens in a way that does address the past harms of racialized enforcement of marijuana laws, which you spoke about, and ensures that tax revenue goes back into communities that were hard hit by that enforcement.
Exactly.
So, my question is, which you spoke to a bit, you know, do you think the governor will go along with this marijuana justice proposal? And what should New Yorkers like me and others be doing to ensure it happens, but that it happens right now through the budget? I know you said, we've got a little time to work this out and do it the right way,
right?
But for people who feel passionate about it, what advice do you have to push the governor and maybe you as well on all sides to ensure that it gets done in the budget, but does get done with this sort of justice lens that you laid out?
Well, you know, I think that the incredible involvement of people has really changed the face of has really recreated, I think, what democracy is supposed to look like. I think the fact that we have in our Senate Democratic majority 39 members and 15 new members who came in with a focus of making sure that we understand public service, adding to, you know, members who are already here. People have fought really hard because they represent the voices of their communities and their constituents. All of that is because of the involvement on the ground. With these important issues, we need to educate and we need to make sure that people hear that, yes, we want to move forward, but we have to move forward in a way that, as you said, addresses the past wrongs and gives access to education about the entire issue and opportunity for economic development. That comes from the people that, you know, to talk to your legislators, to make sure the governor is hearing us, and to make sure that you know, we are standing up for the right thing. You have strong voices here, and having community back our strong voices up is always the best formula for democracy.
All right, we had two from Brooklyn. Now we're going to go up more.
Jays, too.
That's right. Oh, you know? Very. You're a very detailed listener. Attention to detail. We like that in a Senate majority leader. Let's see. Connie, and I think this is actually north of your district. Croton is north of you,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Connie and Croton on Hudson, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Thank you. Yes, and we also contributed a new member to your majority this year, Pete Harcum.
Thank you.
We worked hard on that. I'm calling about the green light legislation that would restore eligibility to driver's licenses to undocumented immigrants in New York State. They're such important members of our community and so important to our economy. And we're wondering where that legislation is going. We know that there are 12 other states that have already done that, and that there's a lot of co-sponsors in the Assembly and in the Senate. So we are hoping that this is the year that it'll get through, and I'm wondering what you see as the prospects for that and what we can do to support it.
Well, I think the same conversation that I had with the previous caller, I'll have with you. Westchester is extremely supportive of green light legislation, and certainly there's a lot of parts of the state that are, and there's a lot of parts of the state that still require the understanding that, you know, right now people are driving without insurance and they get into accidents and, you know, it drives everybody's rates up. It's a matter of in many ways, safety. It's a matter of making sure that people know the people on the road are actually supposed to be there and have gone through the process. It also obviously brings revenue when people have to apply for licenses. But there's also this kind of unfortunate, you know, drumbeat that is coming from the highest levels, which is very anti-immigrant and so on. And we need it as a community to make sure that people understand that we will benefit if the people who are driving are properly licensed. It is not a path, quote unquote, to citizenship or anything. It is about public safety. And so I need voices to help make sure that that's clear too. And our Senate Democrats are certainly prominently sharing that message. So thank you, Connie.
So your argument is basically, if we have hundreds of thousands of undocumented immigrants in New York City alone, whether they're licensed or not, we might as well at least make sure that they are safe, licensed drivers by enacting that law.
That's right. And if you get in an accident, then somebody will be able to actually be accountable and you know, it will help drive down the cost of the overall insurance for everyone. And, I mean, the reality is, like everything else, you know, it costs money to get licenses, and we're struggling on all these levels for revenue and so on. And, I mean, there it is. So I think there's a lot of ways that we should be looking at this, that we, you know, again, need to move forward. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier about the DREAM Act, and what I've said is that there was no real conversation with the Republican majority even about, you know, the Dreamers, and certainly that was one of the things that we did when we came in, and that was after 10 years of having a, you know, this push. And so I think people are acutely aware that, you know, New York is a place where we respect, you know, everyone. We certainly should. And that we are a state, you know, of immigrants. And, you know, we have to be clear that we can have sensible policies as it relates to people in our state and encourage people to do the right thing for everyone. This is one of those ways.
We are almost out of time with the New York State Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins on all these many, many bills that are heading toward the first big deadline for passage of this legislative year, and that's April 1st. We haven't gotten to the ban on plastic bags and a fee for even paper bags at the grocery store that's in your budget, or legal sports betting, which
I'll
is in
your... I'll have to come back on.
You're going to... we'll make an appointment. But I want to ask you on the way out. All of this is taking place in the aftermath of the Amazon deal collapse, for which the governor largely blamed you for appointing Amazon opponent Senator Janaris from Long Island City as the one senator on the control board that could have killed the deal next year. Amazon decided not to hang around and wait to see if that happens. They just left. So do you have any regrets about appointing him?
No, you know what? I don't. Here's the reality, and I say it all the time. In November, I was told by the head of our state development, Howard Zemsky, the weekend before the Amazon deal was announced, he wanted to let me know that they had inked this deal. It had been 18 months in the making, and that was in November. In January 9th, I was sworn in as the majority leader, and I was told that I had an appointment, and it wasn't even an appointment. It was a recommendation to make to a board that looks at public authorities and contracts. My pick was my deputy, who, by the way, represents that particular district, but it was a recommendation. It is not a direct appointment. And logically, because this deal had been inked and the community was trying to figure out what happened, and as you know, the local city council people, the president of the city council, the community, everybody was asking questions, and they were excluded from the process during almost 2 years of a conversation that got inked before anyone knew. So it was very logical as the leader of the Senate to make sure that somebody had a statewide knowledge about, you know, contracts and so on and so forth, but also any of my senators, if something big was happening in their district, would have said, send me in. Again, it was a recommendation. The recommendation to this day has not been rejected by the governor. However, the same person from the Republican side, when they had the meeting of this same board, was sitting there last month, and he didn't change him out, which is his prerogative. I've now changed my recommendation to Senator Comrie. Senator Comrie hasn't been put in there yet. My contention is that any process that can go on for almost 2 years, exclude a community, exclude the local elected officials, is a bad process. And I believe had the process been better, more inclusive, we would have had a better outcome. Nobody is sorry to lose 25,000 jobs. Nobody is sorry not to have an opportunity.
I mean, nobody's happy to lose 25,000
jobs. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, God.
I just don't want you to get misquoted.
I know we were going to say, yes, no. I am sorry to lose 25,000 jobs. Nobody is happy about any of these things, but the process that I don't know, you know, I represent, like you said, Westchester. I have a big city, Yonkers, White Plains, New Rochelle. I've got villages, so on and so forth. Nobody would want to be excluded if in their community, you know, something big like that was happening, and everyone would have a question about it. And so I think, again, you know, the process was very terrible. We need to fix that. And, you know, like I said, I made a recommendation. The recommendation was not not taken. I've made another recommendation. The recommendation isn't taken. So, as I said, I think there's a myriad of things that went on there that should be improved.
So, last question for today, and I look forward to you coming back, and we will pick up on some of those other things we didn't get to today with such an incredible basket of potential bills with Democratic control in the full legislature now. Last question, do you, like the governor, now want to see Amazon reconsider? Is there any message you would like to send Jeff Bezos through this show at this time?
Well, Jeff Bezos, I say again, New York is a wonderful place, as they know, to do business. We have the talent here, and there is absolutely no reason for you not to reconsider. Please reconsider what you've decided. New York is absolutely the best place for Amazon to grow.
New York State Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins, thank you as always. Let's keep talking.
Thank you.